I remember the days of just keeping time, of hanging around in sleepy towns forever. Back roads empty for miles. Well, you can't have a dream and cut it to fit. But when I saw you, I knew we'd go together like a wink and a smile.
Hey, good morning. Happy Tuesday. It's time for The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr. I feel like we should be window shopping.
I agree. If we're going to start out with music like that, it might just be a good show. Jenna, you are right on this morning. Good
just
for you.
Just dancing and enjoying
dancing.
This.
We haven't had the newsroom dancing yet, but I bet before the day's over, we can.
Oh, we'll get them moving.
We'll make that happen.
We'll get them moving.
We'll get them tapping their toes in there. No doubt about it. He just put on his headset, so he's listening.
He knows we're talking about
He knows we're talking about
Hey, we'd love to hear from you this morning. 850-437-1620. Our phone lines are open. Please get those calls in quickly. If you have a question for Mike Wiggins here on the Garden Line on News Radio 92.3, get it in this morning to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm Jenna Barr. Thanks for joining us. We finally got that rain that you were dancing for.
Oh, we did. And it was a good rain. Now, I really wish it had lasted longer, but we'll take what we can get because it has been so dry. And, of course, we always say here on the Garden Line, those rains are great, but don't let them stretch out because after 3 or 4 days, it's time to go back to do a little bit of watering. And it looks like we're going to get cold. It looks like we may be in the 30s by the end of the week. I went back, Jenna, and looked at my old chart that we've used on the Garden Line for years, and it says that our chances of having freezing weather by November 21st, which is coming up, is only 20%.
Oh, okay, okay. I should have led with that. Oh my.
Well, that's right. However, I think it may be time to ditch my chart because it says that. Golly, it's December 10th before we're even at 50% of freezing and 90% on January the 7th.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not so sure. I think climate change may have affected my chart, and I need to find a new one.
I know that last week in the tri-state area, so New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, which is where I'm from, that area, they had 70-degree weather.
Right.
But then a couple days later, it was 30.
Exactly.
Now, I do remember growing up, and we would have snow on Halloween, and then it would warm up again, then drop by Christmas, and then hit or miss throughout the wintertime. It really never went above 40.
Right.
And then sometimes we get snow in May. So, I mean, over the years, I've seen weather can be unpredictable, and there's a lot in play, but I also know that here we at least can be rest assured that even if it dips below 30, we're not going to stay like that for months straight.
That is absolutely correct.
That's what time has told
correct.
Us.
That's absolutely correct. But, you know, you've got those years that are just a little wacky back in the 80s when we did go down to single digits and massive damage on our plants because, one, not only did it get so cold, but it was, like you say, it was warm, relatively warm, in the 70s, moving up to that. And plants do not like a drastic change. And so what we had when that we hit single digits was so many of our plants were damaged. And as I think we mentioned this last week, you didn't know the plants were really damaged until spring. And if you looked very closely, and during that period, you found split bark. And when you had the split bark on plants, I just remember I had some beautiful Japanese yew flanking my front door. And sure enough, you got into May and June, and they just started going downhill. And if you looked closely, they had that split bark, which was caused by that cold in December. And so not much we could do about it. Not a thing you
is
can do
about it. Is the Japanese yew a boxwood? What is that in
no,
the...
No, Japanese yew is a... The other name for it is podocarpus.
Podocarpus?
And it just grows very upright. It's an evergreen. It's a great.
Oh, it's an evergreen. Okay, here we go.
It's a wonderful landscape plant. We use it all over in Pensacola. It's just good to get some height. It grows. It doesn't grow out too much. It's kind of narrow.
Does it have berries?
Yes, it will have berries on it. Exactly.
That's crazy.
But you don't plant it for that. You plant it because of its growth habit. And I know I have two right now flanking a bay window, and I keep them at about 5 feet.
Whoa, they can get big.
Oh, they can. But I keep mine at 5 feet, and they just have been there for years. And
They're very pretty.
It's a great landscape plant.
Very green.
It is very. It is green all the time. Green year-round, obviously.
You said that's a low-maintenance one? Oh, how much water do you need for that?
Well, I just think an average landscape watering plant is good. You don't need more excess.
Yeah.
But by the same token, you don't want it to totally dry out. But it will put up with our Pensacola weather all the time. It's just a basic staple landscape plant for us here in Pensacola.
That's incredible.
Podocarpus. I don't know how the...
Oh, I see it. Podocarpus. Carpus. Japanese
I'm not sure. Japanese U. Exactly.
P-O-D-O-C-A-R-P-U-S.
Absolutely.
That's
awesome. A great plant. But like I say, you get down to single digits in Pensacola, which we haven't done for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And with climate change, we're probably not going to see it. Let's hope.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Exactly. Anyway, it's subject to damage when it gets that cold. But hopefully we'll never do that again. Let's hope.
That's actually kind of a cool Christmas gift, by the way. The Japanese yew, the podocarpus, it's something different. You know, it has those pretty berries, but it's year-round.
Absolutely.
It's kind of a cool gift. You know, people are really steering away from knickknacks, doodads, and extra junk. Give something that will make your yard look more beautiful. I mean, this is something I could see, you know, my neighbor thoroughly enjoying in her yard. So you think of these different gift ideas. I mean, we are quickly approaching Christmas. So
We are.
You got to keep these little tips there.
And if we have time today, I'd like to talk a little bit about a checklist for indoor plants. Now, a lot of these are plants we can enjoy in Pensacola outside during this spring, summer, and fall. But basically, these are house plants. And I found in my files a list of characteristics of some houseplants that are important and which houseplants fit those characteristics, like the best low-maintenance indoor plant, that type of thing. So if we have time, maybe we can go through that list, because a lot of folks, if you're with Thanksgiving coming up and with Christmas, you're going to have guests, relatives, except all our relatives, you know, they come to Pensacola in the wintertime anyway. But you want your indoor, you want your inside of your house to look nice with nice fresh house plants. And so we're going to talk about which ones would be best for you considering the amount of sun that you get in your house and whether you want to put these outside next spring. So in any event, we'll talk a little bit about that later if we have some time. That would be fun.
I love that. We also have time to take your questions. I do have some rolling in. The first one we'll get to when we come back after our break is from our friend Carolyn. Thank you for texting in. And thanks for dropping your name at the bottom of the text as well. You are a friend here. So text in your questions to the Garden Line. We're going to talk about avocados and mango plants. I know. Now I'm hungry.
Ooh.
So we've got that and more here on the Garden Line. Also, hopefully get to those house plants as well.
Real quick. I hope to hear from Catherine today.
Oh, yes.
We haven't heard from Catherine early. I want to be sure everything is good over her way. And Catherine, don't need any gardening questions. Just say hi.
Yes, exactly. We adore her. Also, huge shout out to our friend, Malcolm Ballinger. It's his birthday today.
Happy birthday, Malcolm.
Happy birthday to Malcolm. I forgot to wish him a happy birthday yesterday. So my apologies, but happy birthday to you, Malcolm.
I'm having lunch with Malcolm tomorrow.
88
and I will,
years young.
88, yeah. He'll call you. He'll be on the line.
I know. Oh, no. The line's ringing. It's ringing. 850-437-1620. When we come back, can we grow avocado plant or mango in our area? We're going to tell you here on the Garden Line. We'll be right back.
just want to be a better man to my baby.
Welcome back. It's 919 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620. I'm Jenna Barr with Mike Wiggins on the Garden Line. Thanks for joining us this morning. So, Mike, tell me the good news. Can we grow avocado and mango here?
Probably not.
Well, that was not good news.
No, not good news. You can, if you're going to grow avocado, some people do it just for kind of a novelty. But if you're going to grow it in anticipating, you know, making salsa or whatever you're going to do.
Right.
It probably isn't going to work for you. Those are tropical plants and are grown, my goodness, in different climates than us. So I don't believe you can do it. Now, the mango, I have never had an experience trying to grow mango. Maybe somebody who is listening could give us their thoughts on that. But I just don't believe, from a production standpoint, growing it to feed your family,
right,
it probably isn't going to work in Pensacola.
I remember as a kid, though, my mom would save the pits from the avocado.
Exactly.
And then she would poke
toothpicks in there. Absolutely.
And then half of it in water in a mason jar.
Oh, yeah. I've seen
and
people
slowly,
do that.
Slowly, she has grown a plant without fruit.
Exactly.
Which is cool.
A lot of people do that for fun, you know, just as a novelty to say you did it.
But mango.
Mango, I can't really talk too much about that. Don't know much about trying to grow mangoes. Never tried it. But I would love to hear if somebody can do it and how you do it. That's interesting. That's fun.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you for that. Thank you, Carolyn, for texting in this morning. 850-437-1620. We were talking about weather up and down. I brought some of my porch plants. I brought them inside.
Right.
And I just opened the window the past couple of days just so they wouldn't, you know, get too much frost, right? Or too cold, a little bit of shock, right? But we have a friend who would like to know, should I bring my large potted hibiscus, ferns, and lilies inside this week when the temperatures
probably
get
so
down?
If we're going to go into the 30s with a chance of frost, maybe even a chance of a freeze, I would certainly protect those plants. There's no doubt about it. I'll give you just an example of hibiscus. One, I have a hibiscus. I can't move it. I mean, it's just in too big a pot. I mean, it would take three big teenagers to move it, and don't have that. So, hibiscus have been drying out so fast because of this wind and this dry weather. And the rain last night, I think I watered them real heavy, and they have kind of perked up. But they are not going to take any freezing weather. There's no doubt about that.
Okay.
And so you need to either try to cover them and save them. From a personal standpoint, I let them ride as long as I can, because just in the last week, they have bloomed up a storm. Just really, really pretty. But cold weather is going to do them in. And I just have to, quite frankly, like I say, ride them as long as I can. I've tried to cover them, and I really haven't had much success at that. So I just replant them every year. I have a red one and a yellow one every year. Enjoy them as long as I can.
Okay.
But if you want to try to bring them inside, absolutely. But keep in mind, they want sun. And even when you pull them inside, they may have some problems. So think about that. Yes.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you for that question. We have another one that we want to get to before we take a break. Oh, looks like we have a friend here. Our friend Jenny has grown some bananas.
Well, good for Jenny. Good for her.
Mike, I'm going to put this picture on our podcast today, on our podcast page at newsradio923.com, so you can check it out later, the Garden Line podcast. But when should you pick the bananas? They're rather green. I like that they're a little chubby too. But when do we actually pick the bananas?
I would pick them before we get real cold.
Oh yes.
Quite frankly, keep in mind about bananas. All the books will tell you that you can grow bananas in Pensacola. They may not be the big pretty type of bananas you buy at Publix, but yes, you can grow bananas here in Pensacola. But you've got to have 24 months with no freeze. In other words, if you have a nice big banana plant, which are really beautiful, and they're getting ready to produce if you want them to produce bananas, you've got to have a winter where it does not freeze. And then the next year, you have the possibility of harvesting bananas. But you've got to have 2 years of mild, generally mild, or not freezing weather. Last year, You know, we had very little. We had one or two nights. And that was about it. So if you were able to protect that banana plant, then I bet that's why we've got the pictures of these pretty bananas growing. Insofar as picking them is concerned, pick them when they look like they're ready to eat, or pick them before we get into a freeze, either one of those.
Okay, excellent. Jenny, thank you so much for texting in. Congratulations on your harvest of bananas.
Yeah. And Jenna, save that picture. I'm going to scoot around the studio here and come look at it. That's great.
Oh, that's fun.
That's fun to do, no doubt.
I think, and it must feel so satisfying to have that kind of accomplishment.
Absolutely.
Listen, I'm just barely trying to keep my succulents alive, so good for you. Good for you. We've got more questions rolling in. It's 9:25. Good morning. Thank you for texting in. Yes, you are listening to the Garden Line, not the Garden Center, but we can direct you to
whatever,
either or.
Whatever,
that's
fine.
So cute. I love it. That was a cute little autocorrect from the phones. I have a couple of other texts. Oh, somebody did say that they have tried mango several years in a row, and they all died in the winter.
Yes.
Thank you for texting that in. That's from our friend Bob. It's 9:25. Let's take a break, okay, Mike?
You got it.
When we come back, let's hit a couple of those houseplants before we head to the news.
And
then we'll get to more of our questions here on the Garden Line, 850-437-1600.
Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
It is a lovely day and a beautiful sunshiny morning now.
Yes,
after
is.
That rain.
It's
we
great.
Are very happy here on the Garden Line. Thank you for texting in. I promise to get to your questions and your text after the break, but it's 9:29. Give us a couple good houseplants.
Let's do that. Let me say one quick other word.
Yes.
About Jenny's banana plant.
Yes.
I looked at the picture. That is a gorgeous grove, that's for lack of a better word, of banana trees that she has got in her yard.
Gorgeous. I mean,
it's not just one. She's got a bunch of them. They're right next to a fence, which I bet kind of protects them maybe from the north wind. And maybe that has why they're doing so well. Anyway, Jenny, thank you for that. And all the bananas you've grown. Congratulations. Okay, here is a whole list of houseplants. And what we're going to do, we're going to pretend we're all decorating for the holidays. You ready? All right. The best low-maintenance indoor plant. Okay. This article tells me they liked Marble Queen Pothos. P-O-T-H-O-S. Yes.
Mm.
And they've classified that as the easiest houseplant to grow. It's got these heart-shaped leaves. We all know what they look like. They're kind of heart-shaped leaves, a little bit variegated. And it's great for a little pot plant, say, on a side table or a coffee table, that type of thing. Marble Queen Pothos. That's just the first one. We've got many more to look at a little bit later. So that'll be fun.
Excellent. We've got that and more, and I'll add the link to our podcast page. Hey, Steve, what you got coming up in the news?
A woman is accused of attacking a man and his pickup truck. We'll talk about that after Fox News.
Welcome back, 9:37. You're listening to News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr with Mike Wiggins here on the Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Thank you for texting in, 437-1620. A couple things before I get to a couple of questions. First of all, thank you for texting in. Paul from Blue Sky, he says ZZ plants are really easy houseplants. We are just making a continual list. If you have a notepad around, you're taking notes, well, you can also check out the podcast page later, newsradio923.com, or our mobile app, News Radio Pensacola. But thank you for your suggestions. I love hearing them. We have more coming up throughout the upcoming weeks. Next week will be a very special Thanksgiving episode here on the Garden Line. But our friend Lisa, she texted in, and thank you so much for texting in. After eating the mango, because we were talking about, can you grow mango? Clean the seed and immediately plant it in the dirt. Mine sprouted after 2 weeks. It's approximately 8 inches tall. I learned from a local YouTuber called David the Good. He is awesome.
David the Good.
David.
Do you know him, Jenna? I don't know him.
Oh, I'm about to know him.
We're going to get to know him right now. Absolutely. No, that's a great tip. On the mango. Now, I'm insofar as how to keep it growing, obviously, you just can't let it get too cold. But it's going to take some sun also. So you probably want to, as it's 8 inches tall now, probably put it in a very sunny window for the winter if it looks like we're going to get cold. If not, you can put it outside. But if it's in a container, which I'm sure it is, bring it in if it gets cold. So that's fun. Well, good.
Yes.
David the Good.
David the Good. I'm looking him up while you answer this question. I don't have a name to this question, but thank you for texting in. 850-437-1620. It's 9:39, so you have 20 minutes to also call in a question. I have a pink grapefruit tree and a satsuma I'm waiting to transplant. What is the best time to try this?
Well, the question is, is it in a container and you're going to transplant it into the yard, or is it in some already planted in the yard and you want to move it? Either way, here's what I would do. If it's in a container, quite frankly, to be very conservative, I would leave it in that container for the winter. Bring it in and out if it's going to get cold. If not, leave it outside in the container and then plant it after the chance of a freeze is over in the spring. If it's in the ground and you want to move it, say, from point A to point B, in the cool weather, probably the cooler the weather, the better. And if it's a small one, if it's a small tree, then be ready, if you do transplant it, but even if you don't, to cover it if we get into some type of freeze. With a bed sheet or some, you can buy these plant covers if you want to use those, if not just a bed sheet. Then, of course, take it off right after the freeze, because in Pensacola it warms up and it's not good to have those things covered once we warm back up. But either way, whether it's in the container, I would just kind of cool it till next spring.
Yeah.
It's point A to point B. You can do it in the cool weather. But also one other thing, even though you are transplanting those two plants, or really any plant, quite frankly, don't rely on your sprinkler system to cover you water-wise, because when you transplant plants in Pensacola, many times you'll get root growth during the winter. The ground is relatively warm. And so be sure to hand water it or let your hose just kind of dribble on it after you transplant it, to be sure that those roots are watered well. Be careful. Even if you're transplanting in the cooler months, don't neglect the water.
Okay, excellent. Don't neglect the water. I apologize. I was trying to respond to a couple of messages while you were also talking. So I was listening, but also texting and looking up David the Good YouTuber. Apparently, Mike, we are missing out. I'm checking out his stuff. This is mind-blowing that he exists and is right in our backyard.
Is
and
he
we
local?
Didn't even know
is he
it.
A local?
He's local.
Really?
Yeah,
what's the nature of his podcast or whatever it is that he's got there?
Listen, just this first, I don't even know what this means. This is like Japanese to me. Lasagna gardening is fast and easy, and it's simple to find all you need to get started. Lasagna gardening.
Well, that's sort of like
Was that?
I don't think it was a Saturday Night Live skit. They were talking about how to grow a spaghetti tree.
Okay. Am I like a peanut butter and jelly gardener?
This guy's growing a lasagna tree.
You invite me over.
Yeah, okay.
But he has a ton of videos online. Literally, it's called David.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up.
David
the Good.
That's his YouTube page. And also what popped up was the survivalgardener.com. So I'll add that link and maybe we can get him on the show sometime to hang out with us.
Yeah, David needs to at least give us a call.
This is incredible.
And just like our friends from Blue Sky, they always
help us out.
Are so nice to help us out with some practical knowledge, and maybe David the Good can do the same.
Yeah. Hey, share the wealth. Before we take a break, I want to add more houseplants to our list. If you'd like to text in a question, I promise to get to it, 850-437-1620. What do you got?
All right, here you go. John, this is a challenge for you.
Oh,
ready?
Always.
Go to Google and Google ZZ plant.
Okay.
Now, that's the one that Paul called about, and I have to tell you, it is a great house plant. It's just foliage, but it's glossy green foliage. It has a little bit of an upright growth to it. It is a very reliable plant. The people here who recommended it said it's great for apartment dwellers who live in shady, don't have a lot of sun, because it doesn't take a lot of sun. It doesn't take any much care at all. It likes low light environments. But your test, Jenna, is to pronounce it. This is a ZZ plant. Okay.
Zanzibar gem. What, is that not it? Did you want me to do something?
That's right. Else? Okay.
Zamioculus.
Hey, stop right there. That is perfect. Jenna, that is, I mean, I had worked on that for an hour.
I have
and
to
you got
the
it.
Wand with
okay,
it.
But there's a second name, too.
Oh, boy.
Zamzaculus. Zamifolia.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Zamzaculus, Zamzifolia. That's what I was going to name my first kid.
Which one? Zanaculus or Zamifolia? The whole thing? Okay. Just curious. I did see some of these at Home Depot the other day.
They are so pretty.
They are pretty, and I don't, you know, maybe I just haven't seen them around a lot, but I have a relative who has those and a couple of them in their living room on a coffee table in a pot. And boy, they are just great.
Gorgeous.
And they are bulletproof. Put them in a shady area. It's just great. If you're a beginner gardener and you want to put a little house plant out for Christmas,
mm-hmm. This is pretty.
The ZZ plant. And that's what the label said at Home Depot. They called it ZZ plant. In fine print was the name of your first child, Zamaculus. Zamifolia.
Zamaculus Zamifolia.
Exactly. Anyway, the ZZ plant is under the label of the best indoor plant for low light.
I love it. I'm going to add a link for thespruce.com. They have videos attached for how you can take care of your ZZ plant. So
really?
You've got that on our podcast page coming up at about 11 a.m. here on News Radio 92.3.com. Let's take another break. It's 9:46. If you have a question, text it in. We're also going to hit some more house plants to add to your list. Don't forget. Jenna Barr, thanks for tuning in to News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. We love hearing from you. Here on the Garden Line, Mike Wiggins is here. Coming up, we'll have Pro Health, and you can ask your questions for Mr. McMillian, who should be here shortly. But here's a question for Mr. Wiggins, and I love how this starts. Well, first of all, you have spoken about having circular discoloration or quote-unquote death in a St. Augustine grass yard. This is the best part. I was on my roof over the weekend. Thank you. This is amazing. Me too. I was just hanging out up there. I was on my roof over the weekend and noticed it in my front yard. Oof. What is that called again?
That is called Rosactonia brown patch fungus.
Rosactonia. I think that's a movie for Thor. What is...
You could name another child Rosactonia. If we're naming children this morning. But it's brown patch fungus, and this time of year, all the experts will tell you that in Pensacola you'll see it in the fall, and if you're on your roof, you look down and it looks like an alien has landed, because it mm-hmm. is in a circular form, or at least half a circle, kind of an arc, if you will. Yes, and so that's exactly what it is. You can spray it with a fungicide. However, this time of year, your grass is going to go dormant relatively soon. But if it's really bad, really has discolored what grass you have now, you may want to spray it with a fungicide. Otherwise, keep your fingers crossed, let the grass go dormant, and hopefully it will come back strong next spring. But if you have St. Augustine grass, which you probably do because that's where this is worse, you'll get in Zoysia, but it's mainly St. Augustine grass. Be sure you do, this is a little bit of an aside, have that soil test done, or just go put some lime on the yard, some dolomite lime. That's going to help the vigor of that St. Augustine grass because it's going to absorb nutrients. So do that. Not that that's going to cure the fungus, but that's just one more thing you can do to make that St. Augustine healthier for it to come back strong next spring. Winterizer fertilizer, I would have recommended that, but it's too late. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't spend my money on it. Especially don't try to get into any kind of weed and feed situation. But you can spray with the pre-emergence herbicide right now if you want to.
Oh, okay.
Right now. Middle of November is a good time to do it. But don't use that weed and feed combination. You don't want any fertilizer on that lawn now. It's just a little bit late.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Let's see. It's 9:52, so we have a couple more minutes before we take a final break.
You want to do one more houseplant?
I would love to.
One more houseplant. And this is one of my favorites, okay? This is called Different Things. This is under the category of Best Indoor Plant for Small Spaces. Snake plant.
Oh, my favorite.
I have never in my career really called it the snake plant. I've always called it the mother-in-law's tongue.
Hey.
That's what a lot of people over the years have called this plant. It's upright growing. That's why it's good for small spaces. And you can put it, I have one, I've had them that I've grown outside on my patio. They'll get up high, 3-4 feet, but it does grow upright, totally upright, which is good for a narrow space. And Jenna, you said it, and you were right on target, that it's a great way to purify the air in your home.
Yes.
This plant will do that.
They can get very large if you are continually caring for them and then transplanting them. But that's my question for you then. What is a good time to transplant them and how? Because they do get that coiled, what do you call it when it gets all...
It gets root bound. Yeah. Oh, no. I would do it when it needs it. Okay. When that plant is a little bit out of scale with that pot, just bump it up into a bigger pot. Now, you don't want to take a 6-inch pot probably and put it into a 20-inch pot, but just bump it up a couple of inches and it'll do better. And, of course, just like if you were planting an azalea, if you're going to transplant a snake plant or mother-in-law's tongue, whichever you're going to call it, loosen those roots, score those roots on it, because then they will absorb water and the nutrients that you put on there. One thing about these houseplants we're talking about, the mother-in-law's tongue would like a little sun, so put it kind of, doesn't have to be in a window that gets pure sun, but it doesn't want pure shade either. But be very careful with that, because as we move our plants from the outside to the inside, remember we've talked about doing it gradually if we can, because you go from almost pure sun outside to pure shade in your cozy den, you can have some plant shock, and not much one can do about that. So put it into a place, if you're moving it outside to inside next to a sunny window, then you may want to move it where it gets a little less sun.
Okay.
But kind of do it in stages. I think that's important.
Don't shock it. 9:55 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr. Thank you for texting in all of your questions, all of your comments, all your suggestions. I love it. Our friend Paul said snake plants can actually survive our winters if covered during freezes. They are definitely resilient. So I don't know. I feel like they should be another, Paul, the Betty White of plants.
Exactly. Paul is absolutely right. I will tell you this, though, Paul. I covered mine on my patio, mm-hmm. and got pretty good results, but I forgot about it on a very cold night, and it was gone.
It was gone.
So I just replanted it, and because they grow relatively fast, as long as you do what you say, Jenna, with water, in the growing season, a little bit of fertilizer. Oh, and one of the things about these houseplants I did want to say is insofar as fertilizing them, some of the books will say fertilize them maybe once a month or so at half strength. That's fine. That's good. But some people just put them in the house for the winter. don't fertilize them at all. Kind of slow that growth down, and then you can get fertilizer once they go back out in the spring. So a couple different ways to look at that.
Excellent. On that note, let's take a quick break, and we'll wrap things up here on The Garden Line. Hey, first of all, thank you for tuning in this morning to The Garden Line. I'm Jenna Barr. Mike Wiggins, thank you, as always, for joining me. Next Tuesday, we're going to have a special Thanksgiving episode.
Let's do this next week. Let's talk a little bit about maybe more houseplants.
Yes.
Christmas trees. I know it seems early, but it's
not.
And maybe good gifts for gardeners. So we'll try to cover some of that in our Thanksgiving show next week.
I love it. So tune in next Tuesday, 9 to 10 a.m. here on News Radio 92.3. If we missed your call, I apologize. Try again next week. Mike Wiggins will join us again. And don't go anywhere. We have Pro Health coming up next.